B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand, it is Adam Jones, Christian Arcan, Night Show Takeover here on the midday program with all your phone calls, 617-779-0985. We'll get to the Red Sox here in a moment. A lot of you waiting patiently here on the Patriots from our earlier discussion about potential replacements for Tom Brady because the Patriots are the safety school, according to Jeff Darlington, number three on his power rankings. So, you know, what does that mean going forward for the Pats? How do they replace him? Would you move up in the draft to potentially replace him, like, you know, the Chiefs and Texans did, targeting a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, and you're lucky if you get one of those guys. But should they move up to get a Tua Tagovailoa or a Justin Herbert if either one falls, say, outside the top five? Shouldn't take much. Your pick this year, a pick next year in the first round, and an additional third. So we can get back into that here. Steve is in Connecticut waiting patiently. Go ahead, Steve.
Oh, hey, guys. What's going on? I just thought that in a situation, I might be a crazy Patriots fan, that we keep Tom Brady, get him some help. I think it's more likely, as we've seen over the years, that Belichick changes the defense more dramatically. So, spend a lot of time talking about Brady going somewhere. I think the defense is going to look a lot different next year. Let me know what you guys think.
A lot better. I mean, they were pretty good last year. I think that
he said different. He didn't necessarily say better, just different.
That's true. I mean, if they make it worse, I don't think that's going to make Brady want to stay anymore unless they take some money out of there and invest it in the offense, which I guess they could do. I mean, that's possible. There's some contracts coming up off the books there on the defensive side, too. But I feel like Bill sort of went all in with the defense this year. Like, that's where everything went. That's where all the money went. That's where most of the resources seemed to go. And it paid off. Like, I mean, the defense for the first 2-3 months of the season was tremendous. But you saw what happened to him when they had to go up against good teams, and the offense wasn't good enough to sort of hang with the Mahomeses and the Watsons and Lamar Jacksons of the world, or even, you know, at the end, the Ryan Fitzpatricks of the world. So, yeah, I think that the defense was a high priority last year, and you saw what happened.
I don't know if that's the way to try to win, to retool that defense without Brady. I'm with you on this. Like, I try to keep – I'm not saying you pay everybody. Like, you don't need to pay Van Noy if he's going to break the bank, but – you know, you want to keep as much of that defense together as you can, I'd imagine, if you're going to try to, you know, retool after Brady. You know, maybe McCourty's gone, maybe Van Noy's gone, but I think a lot of that defense is back. I think stylistically, you want to keep playing that way, I would guess. Greg is in Lincoln. Go ahead, Greg.
So, of the top two destinations, the Titans and the Raiders that were on that list.
Yeah, it's a little, a little clicky.
Sorry, Greg. I was about to have a seizure over here. Very clicky.
What is this? Are you still the 48-hour hangover? What's going on?
I mean,
is
yeah.
It looked like that hit that level, short-circuited your brain almost over.
Kind of, yeah. There's a little max headroom, you know, going on there.
I guess. I don't quite catch the reference.
Max headroom?
No.
You know, how he's moving around and his voice gets all choppy and stuff
what
like
is it
that?
From?
Max headroom. It's an old bit on, what was the name of the show that Max Headroom was on?
I don't know. It's a popular, like, late 80s thing, I think, right?
Yeah, I remember it from, like, when I was a kid. Hold on. Max Headroom, what was that from?
I know Pepsi commercial. That's where I know it from.
It's in there.
Max Headroom is a fictional AI character known for his wit and stuttering, distorted, electronically sampled voice. He was introduced in 85, created by George Stone. He was from, I don't know what he was from.
I was George Stone.
Yeah.
It was, if you just, you could have just gone right to that.
Could have said that.
So anyway, we'll get back to your phone call. 617-779-0985. I heard a little bit of Christian Arcan driving around last night with Brendan Glasheen.
Apologies.
And they were talking about the Red Sox in on Will Myers, being linked to Will Myers. You know, he's a corner outfielder for the Padres, if you recognize the name. He's a former top prospect in baseball. When he came up, where did he come up? Did he come up in Tampa Bay or did he get dealt to Tampa Bay? He came up with Tampa Bay, right? Yeah. And then got flipped, if I remember correctly. But he's a former top prospect in baseball. No, he came up with the Royals and then got traded to Tampa Bay.
That's right.
Former top prospect. Red Sox were, when they were talking to the Padres, this was salary they would be taking back in the Mookie Betts trade, the proposed Mookie Betts trade to San Diego. And obviously he wound up going to the Dodgers, in case you forgot. Red Sox are still interested in Will Myers. They're under the luxury tax now. But apparently they're interested in nosing up even closer to the luxury tax threshold by bringing in Will Myers. And they basically be, you know, like a prospect clearinghouse. We'll take on your $61 million for Will Myers. Throw us a prospect. Throw us two prospects.
We'll buy these prospects, basically.
That's effectively what's going on. And maybe they'd send out some payroll of their own. You know, maybe the Padres would say, okay, well, we're going to unload $61 million. We'll take back 1 year at $11 million for Jackie Bradley or something like that, which would be a nice bonus. Mm-hmm. But leave that piece to the side. Are you okay with the Red Sox bringing in a player like Will Myers if it helps them restock the farm system? It sounded last night like you are.
Yeah, I definitely am. And I don't like Will Myers. I think Will Myers kind of sucks. But I think that you were so in such desperate need right now for some sort of pitching prospects or anything through that pipeline outside of that kid Jay Groom that they have there. They really have nothing in terms of pitching prospects or just young pitchers. And think about it this, Jones. They only have four starters right now. Like, whoever they get back in this trade may end up being your fifth starter because you just don't have one right now. So I think that there's a real need, a real serious need to get some young pitching in the system. And if you have to pay, you know, for $30 million of Will Myers for a couple years, I'm okay with that. I think it's probably the best bet you have. Now, what I'm concerned about, or maybe I guess more confused about, is these were the same names, like Camposano and Gabriel Arias and this kid, Cal Quantrill. I think those were all the same names from the Mookie trade.
Probably.
That was being, so what are the Red Sox going to give him if they can't give him Mookie anymore? Like, what are they going to give him that the Padres are going to say, okay, here's three good prospects and Will Myers? Like, you know what I mean? Like, for Mookie, I get that. But if Mookie's off the table, what are they going to do that for Jackie Bradley Jr.? Like, who do the Red Sox even have still that they would want to make that move for? So I'm a little dubious on how this is all going to work, but I would absolutely do it.
McCone, you on board with holding on to a high salaried player like Will Myers or whomever to bring in some prospects?
No, I like it. And this is one of the benefits you can have of being a big market team, is being able to take on salary and get these prospects in moves like this. Now, this kind of runs counter to what you just did with the Mookie Betts deal, and that's kind of because you're painting yourself in a corner. But right now, if you're the Red Sox, deals like this is what you should make if you're trying to restock your farm system.
Okay, if you're saying right now, meaning the Mookie Betts trade is all over and done with, fine. Like, I'm not against bringing in, if you have the space, because we all know the luxury tax is super important. So if you have the salary space, I'm okay with it in a vacuum. The problem is you could have just gotten more for Mookie Betts. Like, why do you have to take on all this extra salary? You could have just gotten more in the Dodgers trade. You should have gotten more in the Dodgers trade. Like, to me, the fact they're going to follow up not getting enough for Mookie Betts by turning around and taking on an awful contract to get the prospects they should have got for Mookie Betts in the first place, that's annoying. Like, that should frustrate Red Sox fans. I'm not against this, again, in a vacuum. You want to bring in a bad salary, help out your farm system. That's probably smart. The Red Sox are a big market team. They can't afford to do this, or at least the old Red Sox used to do this. Now, the penny-pinching Red Sox maybe aren't the same way. But I used to feel that way about the Red Sox. That would be good business. How about instead you just, maximize the asset in Mookie Betts? How about you get more for Mookie Betts when you should have got more for Mookie Betts? Maybe trade Mookie Betts by himself and then trade David Price in a separate deal. Separate them out. Get more from that deal. How do you only end up getting originally two hurt prospects for Mookie Betts? Then they rework it. They wind up getting three prospects, none of them pitchers. That's your return for Mookie Betts? And then you're going to turn around and eat this crappy salary and get two prospects for Will Myers, in addition, I should say, to Will Myers? Something doesn't add up there. If they end up doing this, Arcan, it just shines a bright light right back on how much they butchered the Mookie Betts trade, which we already knew, but this may show us an even greater extent to how much they screwed it up. If you can get two prospects with Will Myers, you should have got five or six for Mookie Betts, or at least better ones than they got.
Yeah, that's true. Although I will say the Padres are obviously looking to shed that out of there, and the Padres have a lot more prospects too.
Well, then Dodgers should have traded him to the Padres.
You probably should have, honestly. Like, you know, I think that's probably the answer.
Then you should have just traded Mookie to the Padres and not to the Dodgers.
I think that's what they, looking back in retrospect, I think we'll probably look back on this, assuming that they do make a move with the Padres here for this Myers thing, which I'm not convinced that's going to happen either. I think there's a lot of just talk going on there because I don't know who the Red Sox would offer up. But if it comes down to, like, okay, now you had to pay all this money to Myers in order to get Quantrill and, I don't know, Campuano or something like that, then yeah, why not just have done that trade in the first place? Why'd you have to do all this other crap and you know, get the Price and pay half his money and all these other things when you could have just done this in the first place and come out with the same return? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it also puts them, I think, right back at the luxury tax. So, like, isn't that weird?
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, pretty close. Edge, yeah. I haven't done the official math, and maybe there's some creative bookkeeping that I'm missing out on, but it pretty much puts you right back up to the luxury tax.
Depending on who goes to San Diego.
Well, the luxury tax was a goal. It was not a mandate. It was not a mandate.
It's only a goal. Yeah. It's not a, imagine if they dip below and then went right back over it. What a slap in the face. What a slap in the face from these clowns that run the Red Sox over there. And I'll say, I will forever call them successful owners. They are successful owners. Who could possibly argue with that? Are they good owners? Like, that's a bridge too far for me. Are they good owners? Great owners? No. They're successful. How have they been successful? Like, honestly, that's a real question. This is not rhetorical. This is not just me asking it out into the ether. I want answers. And you guys can jump in. 617-779-0985. We'll hear from Arcan. We'll hear from McCone. Their thoughts on it, too. How has this ownership group been successful? Seriously, that's a real question. We'll get to that next.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand, Adam Jones, Christian Arcan, here until 2 o'clock on a Wednesday. We got all your phone calls, 617-779-0985. Serious question. Why has this been a successful ownership group? Like, the simple answer is they spend money, right? I mean, that's the one thing I can give them credit for, though not this offseason. But one thing they do is they spend. And you should spend when you make more money than every other team. You should put more money into it than every other team, right? And I say every other team. They make more money than just about every other team. They should put more money into it than just about every other team. You're one of the few organizations, one of the few cities in the country where people care about baseball. So, yeah, you should spend on your team. I guess you give them credit for that, but it's really not that novel of a concept. They should put out what they get in. They're the third wealthiest sports group in the world, okay? They should be spending on this team. I'm not going to give them too much credit for that. How have they been successful? Like, think back to 2004. What they wanted to do, Arcand, is not what happened. What they wanted to do was trade Manny Ramirez, trade Nomar, which they ultimately did. They had already also put Manny on irrevocable waivers previously. What they wanted to do was trade Manny and build around Alex Rodriguez.
And Maglio Ordóñez, right?
Yep, yeah. Yes, Maglio was the other piece.
Yeah.
That's what they wanted to do. And they fell ass backwards into getting Manny back, and boom, next thing you know, World Series MVP. A lot happened in between. They went out, they got Curt Schilling. They traded away Nomar Garciaparra. But they wanted to trade the World Series MVP for one of the biggest chokers of all time.
Yeah.
That's what they wanted to do, okay? 2007... they let Theo walk out in a power struggle. And this is prior to 2007, but I'm talking about that championship. They let Theo walk out in a power struggle in a gorilla suit. And they sided with Larry Lucchino over Theo, which I still think they're paying for to this day. Oh, by the way, siding with Larry over Theo remains, I think, the worst professional decision, and I've said this a lot, the worst professional decision, any industry, any team that he owns, any business venture that he's had, the worst professional decision John Henry's ever made, siding with Larry over Theo, because you could still have Theo. You could still have what you had, and they're still chasing that. They chased him away. He ultimately came back, and he, you know, built the team that won in 2007. But if they had their way, Theo's gone. They're trading away the World Series MVP for, you know, a giant choker. And Alex Rodriguez ultimately won in 2009, but he was more sidecar than central piece to that World Series champion. 2013 felt like lightning in a bottle. You know, that felt like a team that they threw together last second. They went out, they spent some money, they didn't spend at the top of the market. Everybody hit, everybody worked out for 1 year, and then that team crashed and burned and was a last place team the next year. That one felt like lightning in a bottle. In 2018, they cheated their way to a World Series.
Like, they sure did.
Like to me, how have they been so successful? It's like the luckiest ownership group ever. Like, when you really break it down, how have they won 4 World Series? If they did what they wanted to do, you're trading away World Series MVPs, you're chasing off your superstar GM, which they ultimately did. You catch lightning in a bottle and you win one, so great. Okay, fine. A lot of ownership groups win one. And then you sign a big fat cheater and you cheat your way to a World Series. Like, that's been their run. That's been their tenure. They are successful. I can't argue with the fact that they're successful. How good they are? Like, how much of that was planned? How much of that was planned?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point. And I think especially the last two, I think makes your argument a lot stronger. With 04 and 07, Theo was still there, and they hired Theo. And I know that they, you know, sided with Lucchino ultimately, but Theo was still here. He was still an employee. And that was a guy that they brought in, and he did great things here, right? Like, we can all agree on that. It's not, you know, the same as Belichick getting hired by the Crafts or anything, but it's probably as close as these three guys have, right? Mm-hmm. Or these two guys, I would say. And I think that, you know, you got to give them credit for those. Those two really counted. Those two mattered. 2013, I agree with you, was pretty lucky. Like, you were a year or two removed from, again, you were a year removed from Bobby Valentine. Course,
they get credit for all of them. But
they get credit for it, sure.
But 2004, like, you kind of needed Manny at the end of the day, and they wanted nothing to do with Manny.
Yeah.
And their plan, instead of Manny, was A-Rod. That's not a great plan.
No, it's not a great plan.
It sounded good at the time. In retrospect, not a great plan. Yeah.
But they also, I mean, they also signed Manny in 2000, and they could have had Mike Messina. Like,
That predated this ownership group.
Is that right? Oh, you're right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought
no, that's true. It was 2000, then it must have. But yeah, okay, so you're right. He was still there, and they ended up keeping him and not completing that trade. If I recall correctly, it was because the union stepped in, right? Because A-Rod was going to make less money in Boston, and they said, no, you can't make a trade where you have to take a pay cut. You're going to have to stay there. And then they ended up trading him to New York for Soriano. But I think that, you know, That was the Red Sox trying to unload Nomar, which ultimately ended up being a good move. And Manny wanted out of here. Like, Manny desperately, he asked them to trade him multiple times.
Manny has to be traded everywhere he ever played. He wanted out of everywhere he ever played.
Well, he asked them three or four times, can you please trade me? And so I think they were trying to maximize on that. You know, sort of like the David Price thing. David Price is still a pretty good pitcher, but he was disgruntled, and they traded him.
Eh.
Right?
I mean, he's definitely disgruntled, and they traded him. I was quibbling with how good of a pitcher he is, but continue.
He's a pretty good pitcher, I'd say. Yeah. And he was definitely instrumental to 2018 towards the end there. So I would say as far as, you know, how good is this ownership group, they're pretty good. I'd say that they lucked into one of them for sure. 2013, I think they definitely lucked into. 2018, I wouldn't even say they lucked into. I think a lot of teams are cheating, and they cheated their way through it, obviously.
They cheated their way to it. That's
we'll see how much comes out in this report from Rob Manfred, who's really been covering himself in glory a lot this week, I'd say. Really great week for Rob Manfred, so let's see what he discovers in this whole thing. But yeah, I'd say, you know, four championships in 14 years, that's pretty solid. I mean, or 16 years, that's pretty solid ground to be standing on.
No. Again, they're successful.
And these guys are getting a ton of crap today and all week, and, you know, I just sort of wonder if the Patriots are going to get that same kind of crap if Brady leaves, you know? Six championships in 20 years, 4-16, that's pretty close, you know? And one organization gets the benefit of the doubt on every single possible angle, and the Red Sox don't.
No. Here's the difference. The Crafts will take a beating when Brady leaves, I think. You know, unless Brady does something controversial between now and then, and even then. I think they'll take a beating for like 2 days, and then everybody will talk themselves back into being Patriots sheep. The Red Sox are going to get beaten up for a full year.
Oh, no question.
Red Sox ownership is going to get beaten up for a full year and maybe beyond that.
Right, and the difference between the two teams is there's no organizational philosophy since Theo left with the Boston Red Sox. Right. It's one offseason. No, we don't sign pitchers over 30, so we let John Lester walk. Whoops. Actually, we're going to sign David Price to a $217 million contract the next offseason. Like, they're all over the map with everything, and that's the frustrating thing with the Mookie Betts contract. If you want to sell that, you know what, we don't want to sign a player to a monster contract that's going to be $400 million, that's fine, whatever. But you know, in 2 years, when the Nesson ratings are down, they're going to sign a lesser player to a monster contract
It's totally true. It's so true. And they're going to be, what are you talking about? That was never our philosophy, huh? No way. We don't sign pitchers over 30. Oh, wait, we do. And they also have horrible attitudes. So the Patriots, to me at least, and they have the ultimate get-out-of-jail-free card. Like, in your back pocket, you have the greatest quarterback of all time. That'll bail you out of everything. Like, if ultimately your plan is just we're gonna play the greatest player of all time, and that's your magic elixir to winning Super Bowls, that's pretty good. But at least the Patriots do have a philosophy. The Red Sox don't.
No.
And that is why it feels like their championships. And look, I think this last one the Patriots won, the last Super Bowl, was found money. I don't think they expected that. I don't think they expected that at all. But it does feel like they have an overarching philosophy and a belief system and a value system that they stick to. The Red Sox, McCone's right. It changes night and day.
It changes with the GM, really. Like, Theo is a good balance of spending money and also, like, you know, working with prospects and things like that. Ben Cherington was just prospects, didn't spend any money except for bad contracts like Hanley and Pablo Sandoval. And then here comes Dombrowski, who's all spending and screw all the prospects. So they've won with all three of those philosophies, which I think is pretty interesting. And also, I think a testament to them, if we're being honest here. The fact they were able to win with three different guys who had three very different philosophies is pretty impressive,
I think. Tells you a lot about the sport. I mean, the Patriots get out of jail free card is, well, we have the greatest quarterback of all time. The Red Sox get out of jail free card is, we'll just spend our way out. And, you know, not every team in baseball can do that. It's not a level playing field. So that's a big advantage they have too. And I don't know how much credit they should get for that. You own the Red Sox. You make a lot of money. You can spend more than other teams. 617-779-0985. Peter is in Jamaica Plain. Go ahead, Peter.
Hey, guys. I think we're overrating Mookie Betts a little bit and how the damage it might cause to the team. Statistically, he was the fourth best hitter on the team last year. Devers, 23 years old, might be the best young hitter in baseball. I think Bogaerts is an MVP candidate. You got
just to jump in, Peter, just to jump in quickly. I'm going to put you on hold because you're not stopping talking. Bogaerts might be an MVP candidate. Betts has won and then also finished second. So, if we're going to bring up that he's an MVP candidate, you might as well point out that Betts has been an MVP. But keep going, Peter.
Okay. And then J.D. Martinez, he might be a top five hitter in baseball, in my opinion. Okay. And then Andrew Benintendi is a real solid.
So that's where you lost. So look, they have other bats. They have other bats.
They have other young bats, yeah. The offense, I think Mookie leaving is not going to kill this offense. You know, I think will still be okay.
It takes a big bite out of the offense.
It takes a bite out of it, but I still think with Devers, Bogaerts, and J.D. Martinez, that's a good 3-4-5
yeah,
right there.
I'd expect Martinez to be pretty similar. I expect Bogaerts and Devers to fall off quite a bit. While everybody's like, oh, Benintendi's going to be better. Sure, I agree with that. Benintendi's going to be better. The two guys who hit way over their heads are going to be worse. So, you know, there's going to be a leveling off there for everyone. Benintendi will come up. Those two guys will go down. Especially Devers, I think, is going to go down. There will be a learning curve there. And I like Devers better long-term than I like Bogaerts. But Martinez, I kind of think you know what you're getting. Those other two guys, I'd expect them to come down. Just like Mookie Betts. Oh, you can pencil in Mookie Betts for his MVP numbers again. No, you can't. It's really hard to do that in back-to-back seasons. And, you know, when Betts bottoms out like he did last year, the numbers are still really good.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be surprised if Bogaerts and Devers, they're bottoming out, is what Betts did last year. I'd be stunned, actually.
Yeah, Mookie's bottoming out. He had an OPS of 915. So, I mean, I'll take that any day. Some of the other numbers were down here and there, and he wasn't an MVP candidate by any means. But I also think that, you know, with Mookie in particular, you talk about your J.D. Martinez's and Devers and Bogaerts. The defense, obviously, is an important part of what made Mookie so good. And you remove a guy like that at that age, at age 26. Like, J.D. Martinez is 31. Those other guys, like even Bogaerts, he's 26. He's not that young either. Devers is legitimately young, and Benintendi's legitimately young with a lot of years ahead of them before you're going to have these kind of conversations. But those other guys, you know, you might be having the same conversation about Bogaerts in a few years here. You know, like, well, his contract's almost up, and we don't want to lose him for nothing. Like, these same things could be happening with other players.
617-779-0985. How long did Bogaerts sign? It was like 5 years?
I think it's five.
So, I mean, you got a long ways on Bogaerts. But yeah, some of the other guys, you're not wrong. Like, they gotta get to... I mean, a big thing for Chaim Bloom is getting Rafael Devers extended, right? Try to buy out an arbitration year or two. That's going to be a big thing for him. That's something he should be able to do.
5 years with a vesting option for a sixth.
He obviously can't make big high-profile trades. Let's see if he can work out an extension for Rafael Devers. Let's see if he can do that. Shouldn't be that hard. Find a comp, offer him that money. That shouldn't be that hard. 617-779-0985. McCone has all the latest in Hub headlines, and Arcan mentioned Rob Manfred having a tough go of it. Let's get to the MLB commissioner next.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times. Yeah.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
In an effort to make a rhetorical point, I referred to the World Series trophy in a disrespectful way, and I want to apologize for that. There's no excuse for it. I made a mistake. I was trying to make a point, but I should have made it in a more effective way, and again, I want to apologize for it. I will say this. You know, I've awarded 5 World Series trophies. There is no greater pleasure in this job than awarding that trophy. I understand what it means. And again, it was a mistake to say what I said.
Rob Manfred, Commissioner of Baseball, for now, apologizing for calling the Commissioner's Trophy, the World Series Trophy, as right, it's colloquially known, referring to that as a piece of metal. Might as well just refer to it as a hunk of junk or
hunk
whatever.
Crap,
you know,
it's, yeah,
it's a piece of crap over here. It's you guys just win a piece of crap at the end of the year. It's a big deal. Whatever. What's up? Well, we're just going to take it away from them. Who cares? And it's 11:39. Adam Jones, Christian Arcan here on Zolak and Bertrand. Taking all your phone calls. 617-779-0985. I missed this press conference live yesterday. he's done a big press tour, right? He did a press conference last week. He's done a bunch of different shows and interviews. I know he did a sit down with Carl Ravitch, mm-hmm. and he has just been pissing people off left and right.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like he has been pouring gasoline on the fire at every turn. So I didn't hear this press conference live last night, but I heard this clip, and it sounds like he's apologizing for like a crime. It sounds like he's apologizing for, like, you know, I don't know what, like bilking people out of millions of dollars or like some white collar crime.
Bernie Madoff,
yeah, exactly. Like, he sounds like he's done something so egregious and he's so sorry. And, you know, actually handing out that hunk of junk, I mean, that great award is one of the greatest things and most rewarding things that I do in this position. Like, it was prepared, it was crafted, it was apologetic, and it is over a stupid piece of metal.
Yeah,
like, it really is.
I actually like that. I liked how mad all those baseball players got. They're like, I sacrificed my whole life for that hunk of metal, man. And like, it's like, ha, ha.
Like, I get why he shouldn't have said it. Like, you're the commissioner, it's your trophy. Like, should he have said it? No, of course he shouldn't have said it. But like, this idea that baseball players are like, what Arcan just said, this is our sacred trophy. What? Bah, I worked my whole life for this. Bah. Like, you know, my life would be so different if I had one. Bah, it's all I dream about all night long. Bah. Like, that is so, it's so stupid. No one cares about your trophy. Just FYI, no. Just FYI, baseball players, no one cares about your trophy. Okay? People do care about the Stanley Cup, which, by the way, hockey hardos, also a hunk of metal. But people actually care about the Stanley Cup, that hunk of junk. People actually care about that. I would get hockey players saying, oh my God, right? Dick Clapper drank out of that. Like, oh, how dare you call that a hunk of metal? Ah! Like, that I get. That I get. The stupid commissioner's trophy? No one actually, you realize no one actually cares about that?
Yeah.
You realize no one even knows it's called the commissioner's trophy. I didn't even realize that. Like, I read it and I'm like, oh yeah, that's what that's called. But if you asked me that, I never would have guessed commissioner. Not in a bazillion years. No one cares about the Larry O'Brien trophy. I'm not really sure anyone cares about the Lombardi itself. Gronk obviously doesn't. He's dented the crap out of the thing.
Right.
Which was funny. Like, I half get it with that hunk of crap Stanley Cup. Like, I half get that. This thing? Like, no one actually cares about it. So get over yourselves. Did he say the wrong thing? Sure. He said the wrong thing. Should he have called it a hunk of metal or a piece of metal or whatever he called it? No. Obviously, that didn't have a very good understanding of his players and his sport and his league and his fans. Like, obviously, he shouldn't have said that. Can you guys chill out with oh, it's a sacred win. It's a sacred trophy. Respect the trophy. Like, can you chill out with that, please?
You never won anything in your life, yeah,
exactly.
Rob Manfred.
Yeah, like, spoken like a guy who never played. Like, chill out. Like, chill out.
You guys all get guaranteed contracts, right? Like, why, you want to lose those so you can get the trophy over there? Like, it was pretty funny. I actually kind of enjoyed that, but I think Rob Manfred here is, I don't think he started digging the hole. Like, I think the hole already existed and he kind of fell into it, but he is not doing, he's making it deeper. Like, every day.
He's
every day
listen.
He's making that thing deeper.
He went to the John Henry School of Delivering Public Statements. Like, that was not the most human and relatable thing I've ever heard in
nope.
terms of an apology. That
nope.
was tough.
No. How dare you, though? How dare you call it a hunk of junk, a piece of metal? How dare you? I like that that's where baseball yeah. players are like,
that's the line.
Now he's
that's
out.
That's the line.
Now fire him. Fire Manfred. Like, they're like, he disrespected our trophy that no one respects. How dare he?
Forget
How
about this terrible he? Cheating scandal that's all happening under his nose. He said something about our trophy.
Forget our sport dying and him running it into the ground. He disrespects our trophy no one respects. No one knows about, no one cares about. How dare he? By the way, I can't believe I'm about to
Resign.
Say this. I can't believe I'm about to say this. Baseball might have made a better decision going with Tom Werner over him.
Yeah, you might be right.
He was wasn't he the other finalist?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was the other finalist for commissioner. Can you imagine how baseball would be under Tom Werner's watch?
I mean, I don't know if it'd be better, but it'd definitely be funnier. Definitely right. be more entertaining, I
yeah.
think. Yeah.
At least it'd be, you know, at least it'd be a little endearing. You know, like the Cosby Show. It'd be a little endearing, you know, wouldn't it? Yeah. Just that's right up Werner's alley. So throw a laugh track in there. Werner was the backup. And if Manfred gets fired, is Werner gonna be in the mix here?
Probably.
Right?
Why wouldn't he be?
He's a finalist last go.
He was the guy I almost went with.
I mean, I can think of a bazillion reasons why he shouldn't be, but like he was the runner up last go round. So he should be in the mix in theory, right?
I think that Manfred like trounced him though, right? Like when didn't they okay. vote on it and Manfred ended up getting like way more of the votes?
Well, it doesn't sound like he's doing so well. He may be out. So I'm saying in the scenario where he's out, Werner was the next guy.
Sure, but I'm saying another guy could come in and then fill the void there because I think that obviously Henry and I think a couple other teams were okay with the idea of Werner, but a lot of the other teams weren't because they didn't want a guy coming in who was affiliated with this one team who was going to, you know, maybe show preferential treatment. So I think that if they do bring in another guy, if you know, Manfred steps down, which I can't believe this, but it seems like he might, I think that, you know, Werner will have the same problems he had last time. You know, just he's associated with the team. It's like Mendoza on the Sunday Night Baseball. Like it's hard to feel like you're not getting a bit of an edge, you know, for the team that he used to work with or something along those lines when you pluck a guy right out of the front office.
I mean, Bud Selig came from the Brewers, didn't he?
That's true.
Yeah.
So they've done it.
Yeah. I mean, do you think they want to do it again?
I don't know. I mean, they apparently they did. He was one of the finalists last go around. They didn't seem all that concerned about it.
Sure, but he didn't. I mean, it seemed like Manfred was the clear favorite choice there.
No,
and I think
true.
That if they bring in somebody else who's independent, he'll get that same sort of thing over Werner that Werner didn't get.
I wonder what I would root for. Do I want Werner as commissioner? I feel like I do. I feel like Werner as commissioner would be like. Could you imagine him with this damage control?
Oh yeah.
Plus, it would just get him out of here, which I have to feel like is a good thing. Just getting him away from the Red Sox can't possibly be a bad thing. Can't possibly be a bad thing.
You have to stop filming each other. Stop it.
I'd like to start guys. A
chain. No, look, if you think Rob Manfred's running the sport into the ground, you really want to kill baseball, make Werner your commissioner. You really want to end the sport and really have it go the way of horse racing and prize fighting. Bring in Werner. Murder Werner there. 617-779-0985. We'll continue with all your feedback. I heard Danny Ainge on this morning with Tutcher and Rich, Wallach and Rich, more accurately. And Danny Ainge, you know, kind of half standing up for his guy Ray Allen, but also letting you know Ray Allen's number isn't going up to the rafters. And it shouldn't, know, by the way. We'll get to that next.
Come on.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Father, the sun is the center of the earth, in the middle of the universe. Then why is this verse coming six times rehearsed? Don't freestyle much, but I write them like such.
Amongst the think he got game guy over there, Arcan?
Oh, yeah. Like the movie, like the song?
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. Good little tune there. Good film.
Great film. Especially that recruiting trip.
Oh, what a...
Yeah.
Ugh. Couple of
force right there.
Couple of scenes in that one that a young teenage Adam Jones burned right into his memory.
A lot of respect for Rick Fox after that.
Yeah,
yeah. He was like the tour. Where'd
he go? He go to Big State.
Yeah, Big State.
I think Big State.
He ended up.
That was not. We talked about safety schools earlier. That was no longer a safety school of mine. After I saw that, I said no. Big State. Move that right to the top of the list. Right to the top of the list there. But Ray Allen, slightly better actor than Rob Gronkowski, I'd say. I mean, not great, but better than Rob Gronkowski and what we've seen out of Gronk thus far. Ray Allen, there was some talk last week. Now that Kevin Garnett's number is up in the rafters, real quick poll here. You're okay with Garnett getting retired?
Yeah, it would have been okay if he didn't, though, too. I think only
one. Oh, yeah.
Actually,
you weren't even here for this. You missed this last week.
Yeah.
On your 4-day bachelor party on Valentine's Day weekend in New Orleans. Yes.
Say all that. But I think there was really, for that one championship, I would have been okay with just one guy getting his number retired. And I think that's Paul Pierce. It had to be Paul Pierce. Garnett, I'm not going to kick and scream or anything, but I would have been okay if they decided, no, we just want one guy from that group. That would have been fine with me.
Okay. So it sounds like you're actually more against Garnett being up.
Yeah,
there.
I'm more against it than for it, I think. Okay, and I like Garnett a lot.
You're okay with it, but you're more against it than for it.
One championship, I think you need the... Yeah,
so that's a no.
That's a no. I'll go with just Pierce.
Okay, if you're more against it than for it, then that's a no. Okay, so you're actually out on Garnett.
More against it than for it, yeah.
Okay, so I surprisingly am for it. I think a lot of people maybe would be surprised in that. I'm fine with it. Like, the Celtics retire too many numbers. Obviously, they retire too many numbers. Who would argue with that? Garnett's one who deserves it. He's the best player on a title team. And... You know, I think 6 years is long enough for the greatness that he had while he was here. That last year, he was not great. But the greatness he had while he was here, while you bring in a championship, I think that's enough to get your number up there. I do. I can't tell where you're coming down on this, McCone. You're okay with it or not?
Yeah, I feel like it's tough to be picky if you're the Celtics at this point. So, yeah, if the criteria that you've already laid out is there, then Garnett deserves to be up there.
I'm saying independent of that criteria, I think he should be up there.
I think screw the criteria. You're running out of numbers. the standards should be higher now than they've ever been.
Okay, that applies then to every number moving forward. They've put up too many numbers.
Fine.
True, they've put up too many numbers. That should penalize Garnett. Or somebody else who deserves it, whoever that person would be?
Yeah. I mean, if your team only won one and there's one guy on there who deserves it more, which I think Paul Pierce did, then yeah, that should hurt Kevin Garnett. Yeah.
Okay. Pierce doesn't deserve it more for 2008. He deserves it more for his tenure, but Pierce doesn't win crap without Garnett, just FYI. And I mean, Pierce is probably going to
win. Would Garnett win without Pierce?
I don't know. Garnett was the best. At least Garnett was the best player on a championship team, which Pierce was not. So I feel like Garnett doesn't need to say he won with anybody else. He was the best player on that team. They won with him. That's the more accurate way to put it. And Ray Allen, my God, is so far down that list. Again, we'll get to Ray quickly. But, like, the analogy I always use is Terrell Davis. Terrell Davis, to me, is a Hall of Famer. Terrell Davis was awesome for 5 or 6 years, and he got hurt, but he was awesome. He should go to the Hall of Fame. He was elite. Garnett was elite while he was here. I think he should go up there. And if you want to take down other numbers, go ahead. He's not one I'm taking down. You want to take down Easy Ed McCauley, and you want to take down Don Nelson and
How
Max.
How dare you, sir?
It's a tough ceremony to watch.
You can take down a bunch. And I'm not justifying Garnett. I'm not doing what McCone just did. And I think a lot of people are doing that, and that's fine. I'm just saying I'm not doing that. I'm not justifying Garnett going up there because of who's up there. I'm not even doing that.
Jones should be the MC of the banner lowering ceremony.
Hey, yeah. Celtics, if you need somebody, I'll gladly do that. Every team in this city, I will gladly be the banner lowerer for any champion. Red Sox 2018, I'll take that down for you. You need somebody to take that down? Patriots, you need anything taken down?
Nice
Celtics,
speech.
Bruins? Middleton, I'll rip that thing out of the rafters like you read about. So if you need somebody to do it, I will gladly do it.
He's like announcing all the reasons why.
Yeah, why Maxwell shouldn't be up there. See you, Max.
Bill Sherman played before African Americans were allowed in the league. We're taking his number.
Drop the banner.
Yoink. Yoink. So anyway, I'd be happy to do that. But while we're talking about Garnett, the next logical question became, well, who else is going up there? And people were like, oh, Rondo. Which, please. You know, Danny Ainge, I think, is an interesting idea, not for his playing days, but I think Danny Ainge is an interesting idea as an overall contributor. I would still be a no, but I get it. I get people feeling that way about Ainge. McHale's already up there, and McHale, you know, handed him Kevin Garnett, which won him a title, so McHale's already up there.
Again, yeah.
I feel like you've already commemorated that championship, but if you want to do it for Ainge, go ahead and throw in his playing days as well. Ray Allen was one that came up a bunch, and I am a firm no on Ray Allen. Like, please. Ray, you want to talk about riding coattails. I mean, Pierce at least was a finals MVP and right there. You want to talk about riding coattails. Ray Allen, third of a big three. So here we go. Here's Danny Ainge when he was pressed a little bit about Ray because Danny was a little wishy-washy, like, it's not my call and that. Rich pressed him a little bit and said, well, you've been telling us for years that Garnett was going up there. You're saying you don't know if Ray is going up there, so that's effectively a no, right? So here's the exchange.
If Kevin Garnett's number is going to be retired, which I think that nobody has any problem with, statistics-wise, don't you have to retire Ray Allen's number as well? Like, if you look at their numbers and how important both of them were to winning that championship, and for the numbers that he put up during his run as a Boston Celtic, don't you have to retire his number as well?
These are not my decisions, and so if someone asks my opinion on this, I'll weigh in at the appropriate time, but this is Wick's team, and he gets to make those decisions.
Has anybody asked your opinion on this?
No.
Okay, but you knew that Kevin Garnett's number was going to be retired a long time ago, yet with this, it doesn't sound like Ray Allen's at any point will be retired?
I don't know that. No, I'm not saying that at all.
Okay.
I just don't think there's a certainty in it. Oh, but right now, I don't have a certainty of it happening, but I have no idea what will happen down the road.
Okay, so to me, that is a no. And I guess with the Celtics, you can never rule anything out, Arcan. Like, they retire so many numbers, you can put anything up there.
Right.
So I guess can't totally rule it out. Maybe that's why Danny's hesitant to do it, or maybe he just doesn't want to make a headline. That's a no. And good, that should be a no. Ray Allen's number should not be up there. I mean, he was here even shorter than Kevin Garnett was, and he wasn't as good of a player as Kevin Garnett. So no, he should not be up there. Never mind the way he left.
He was a turncoat. That's the
big thing. Yeah, I mean, trust me. That's a big reason to not be up there. But if you want to set that aside and say, whatever, it's his right. The Celtics tried to trade him a couple of times, and I don't agree with this. But if you want to say that, fine, go ahead. It's his right. He could do what he wants. He's a free agent. Celtics tried to trade him a couple of times, blah, 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 blah. He still was here, not as long as Garnett. He was a worse player. he shouldn't be up there. If Garnett's even halfway controversial, Ray should be a firm no.
Yeah, and I don't think Garnett is that controversial. I don't think there's a lot of people who have, you know, big outcry for Garnett going up there. There would be for Ray Allen, definitely. There would be people saying, come on. Like, what do you, he only won one championship. The guy was a jerk. He left here anyway. Like, really, we're gonna throw him up there too? Like, come on.
McCollum looks like he's out.
Yeah, I absolutely think he should be up there. He's the worst player of the big three. It was the big three that won that championship.
Right.
And
okay.
All of you guys it doesn't matter.
No, here we go. Arcad, I see what's happening here. I didn't connect the dots on this. Big UConn guy.
Oh.
Big UConn guy over there. I should have seen this coming. Shame on me.
Good point.
Big UConn, go ahead, big UConn guy. Why should big UConn player Ray Allen be up there with the Celtics? Not, let's put Kemba up there while we're at it, right?
Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea.
Before
kill
he retires.
With one stone and get both up there in one night. But no, in 2012, Danny Ainge traded him to Memphis. They called Ray Allen and said, you have been traded to the Memphis Grizzlies. Aww. And then the trade got blocked by OJ Mayo and it fell apart. And now I'm supposed to have like, I'm supposed to feel something for the butt. You just traded me to Memphis. Why do I care about the Celtics at that point if I'm Ray Allen? But he's the bad guy.
I mean, you're loyal.
That's a great reason to retire.
Tim,
you won a championship in 2008 because of the big three. You're going to retire two of the three numbers?
Lucky for you. I wouldn't retire Parrish while we're at it. I'd take that one down too. If you want to talk about the big, I'd retire McHale. I'd obviously Bird. Parrish, third of the big three. Don't need it. But anyway, neither here nor there. Ray Allen is lucky that you're more loyal than he is. That's all. Like, your loyalty to UConn is much stronger than Ray Allen. He's lucky.
How about
that.
The loyalty from Ainge? That was trade me to Memphis, really?
What loyalty?
Trade me to a competitor?
He traded Pierce, too.
So
should Pierce have turned around and ripped the organization?
He didn't rip the organization. He didn't rip the Celtics. He went on to win a championship with the Heat.
I'm sorry. Should Pierce have passive-aggressively fumed about it? Is that what Pierce should have done?
No, the other Garnett passively. It's Garnett's fault that this whole feud is taking place. By the way, I don't know why Garnett's mad at Ray Allen for going on to win a championship when, again, you tried to trade him to the Memphis Grizzlies. So, if Ray Allen gets traded to the Grizzlies in 2012, everyone still loves Ray Allen if that's the way he walks out the door. But because he went on to actually have a successful career after you tried to get rid of him,
I said, "Look, I wasn't even bringing up the douchiness of the way he left, which was douchey. He wasn't as good as the other guys, and he wasn't here as long as the other guys." Like, you know,
it was built around a big three, though. So if you're going to retire two of the three,
but not really.
The third one doesn't go in.
It was really built about Garnett and Pierce, and they said, Ray, go stand in the corner. That's really what they did. And if you really want to get into
Ray, nobody sacrificed more on that team than Ray Allen.
If you really want to get into Ray Allen, we could talk the 2010 finals if you want. That's one we could talk about.
Oh, boy.
So here we go. While McCone's rafters for the Celtics, I believe, if I understood this correctly, Ray Allen.
Yep.
Kemba Walker. Travis Knight?
He's up there.
Okay, good. Okay. I was trying to get all these UConn players.
Commemorated.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah.
No. Get them all on one banner. All the UConn guys
to beat.
Up there.
Get him in there.
617-779-0985. Mr. Husky himself here, Tim McCone, with all the latest in your Hub headlines. We can get back into the Patriots.